Dear friends, I greet you in Jesus' name. You have probably heard about the experiment with the golf balls and the mayonnaise jar. Walking into class one day, a philosophy professor began to fill a jar with golf balls. And when he could no longer fit any more in, he asked his students, "Is the jar full?" And they said, "Yes, it's full." Wordlessly, he then picked up some small pebbles and began to pour them into the jar, filling in the spaces between the golf balls. He repeated his question, getting the same response. Then he picked up a container of sand and poured that into the jar until the jar was absolutely packed. "Now is the jar full?" he asked, and the students replied, "Yes, that jar is really full." At this point, the professor took a can of beer and poured the contents of that into the jar as the students laughed and cheered. "Is it full now?" "Yes," they cheered. "Is it full now?" "Yes," they shouted. Well, once they had settled down, the professor explained his little experiment. The golf balls represent the things that are really important in your lives. Your relationships, your spouse, your children, your family, and your friends. The pebbles represent things that are also important. Things, material possessions, but very important things like your home, your job, your car. And then the sand represents all the car. And then the sand represents all the small stuff. Now the question is, when you are filling this jar, what if? Now the question is, when you are filling this jar, what if you had started with the sand? Would you have ever had any room for any of the important things in your life? Well, the students got the point. And then one student asked, well, what about the beer? "Oh," the professor said, "well, there's always room for a beer." "Well, there's always room for a beer." So I'm not promoting beer or alcohol or anything today. But the point is this. It makes no sense to start filling up your lives with the small stuff. But isn't that often the way we treat our money? Isn't that often the way we treat our money? You know, you buy enough lattes or beer, and pretty soon you have no room, no more money for the groceries. Isn't that right? Isn't that what we do? I mean, multiply that 1,000 times with 1,000 little things. And yet, common sense tells us that you should give first priority to the most important things in your life. And then the small stuff will find its place. Today, we are in the middle of a sermon series, checking out our priorities in life. Last week, Pastor Dan began with our time, a commodity which we all share in equal amounts. Today we will consider our money, a commodity which each of us has in different amounts, and yet we have equal responsibility. Next week we will take a look at our abilities, which everyone has, but in different kinds. And underlying it all is prayer, which determines our use of the first three. As you have already heard, this is in preparation for our Commitment Sundays, which are coming up next week and the week following. A mailing has been sent out. Some of you may have already received it. Others will receive it sometime this week. And we encourage you to take time and sit down, read it through, pray it through. This is a matter of faith, even more than it is a matter of your time or your wallet. And then starting on November 23rd, we will be entering into a season of intensive prayer as we prepare for the year 2015. Where is God leading us as a congregation and as individuals? How will we use the gifts He has given us so freely? Money matters. That's what we're talking about today. Now, I think that all of you are aware that money can be used for good or for ill. Money matters can turn around and bite you. They can sneak up on you and infiltrate your thinking in dangerous and hurtful ways. You have to be careful with money because it is the one commodity that can go into the negative zone, into debt. And if you dig that hole deep enough, you will find it very difficult to climb out again. But money is also a tool that can be used in beneficial and even faith-shaping and kingdom-building ways. In fact, money is one of God's best tools for creating faith, precisely because money matters so much to us. When you give your money over to God's use, that takes faith. So make your money count, but make it count for God's kingdom, God's work in this world, because that's the only thing that counts when all is said and done. It's all about priorities, and money matters. The parable that Jesus told about the talents really says it like it is. There are several things that we can learn here about God, who is the giver of all gifts. We learn how he challenges us as well as provides for us. We will find that the reward for meeting that challenge is joy and more. Our giver, our challenge, and our reward. Let's see what God has to say to us today about money matters. First, God is our giver, and God gives generously, lavishly. In this parable, the master gives to his servants a number of talents, each according to his ability. Now, in this case, talents are not how we normally think of it as abilities or skills. It's not that kind of talent. These talents were units of money, a significant amount of money. I have read that each talent represents 20 years of salary for an ordinary worker. This was not petty cash. The master made a significant investment in each of his three servants on equal amounts, but equal responsibility. God is our giver, and he is generous with his gifts. I challenge you to make account of all of the gifts he has given you. Start with creation. Now that's going to take you a while. What do you love most about this incredible world that God has made for us? Sunsets? Rain? Sunshine? Maybe it's the mountains or the beach. You know, we could go on and on and on. God has blessed us with an incredible, diverse, and fascinating world, an entire universe, and he made it for you and me. Think of your personal blessings, your loved ones, your health and well-being, your material goods. Whether they are the size of golf balls or the size of a grain of sand, God has blessed each one here with his gifts, many gifts. And they are as diverse with his gifts, many gifts. And they are as diverse as they are bountiful. God is a creative and generous giver. God is a great giver, and he has given you and me some wonderful gifts, including money and material possessions. That leads us to our challenge. For God has given us gifts, but not for us to own. He has given us gifts, but not to use for any old thing. Hoarding or hiding these gifts is off the table. In a way, God is like a venture capitalist because the gifts he gives are for investment. Your challenge is to take those gifts and invest them in God's kingdom, to use them in such a way that God is honored and his will is done. He challenges you to invest wisely. You see, God's economy is not so much about owning as it is investing. It's not just a straight line, you know, God gives something to you and it ends there. Not at all. Rather, it's more like a web of gifts that bounce from person to person as his gifts are invested, creating new initiatives and returning dividends. You are the manager of those gifts. You are to take God's gifts and invest them on his behalf. Jesus makes that really clear. God is the master. We are his servants, using his money so as to honor and please him. And at the end of the day, we present those dividends back to God. It makes all the difference when you see your money as God's money and your role as his manager. Think of the Sea of Galilee. It's a big freshwater lake fed by mountain streams and rivers. It is full of fish, and it provides sustenance for many. It stays fresh, not only because it has an intake, but it has an outlet, the River Jordan. Now compare this freshwater lake to the mineral-laden lake of the Dead Sea. It is well named. Nothing lives there. There is no outlet. It's the lowest spot on earth. No outlet, no flow. No connections, no life. The water is brackish. It's stagnant. It's dead. Your money is not meant to be hoarded. It's a dead end. It needs an outlet flowing into God's lively work. But at the same time, God doesn't demand it all. Being generous, he claims only 10%. The larger portion, a whopping 90%, is given to you to live on and enjoy. But here's part of your challenge. Like the golf balls and the sand, if you begin by using that money to meet your own needs and then give whatever is left over to God, you will not be able to fit one golf ball into your jar. You know how it works. All the money you have tends to get sucked up by normal life. But when you return that 10% right off the top, and then live on the 90%, it all works out. Jim and I have used that principle all our married life, and I know some of you have as well. And you know what? In all stages of our life, whether thick or thin, God has been utterly faithful to us. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, because it's not, especially if you're at the beginning of your career. At that point, there just isn't much money to work with, and it takes some real guts, some real faith, and some real serious budgeting to make it work. But this is the best place to start, because then you set a pattern for life. And if you didn't start at the beginning, start now. There is no excuse, because the way you manage your money also makes a difference in your faith. It works both ways. Your faith helps you to set your priorities, and to carry them out. And setting your priorities for God's kingdom and giving right off the top strengthens your faith. Aim for that 10%. That's the biblical standard. Start where you are and add a couple of percentages every year. And just so you know, our congregational budget is also moving its benevolence portion from 10% to 15%. God has been good to us, and we want to be a part of his kingdom work. God is our giver. Our challenge is to use our money wisely, investing for his kingdom, giving that gift back to God right off the top. And our reward? Joy. Jesus says, "Enter into the joy of your master." God takes delight in giving. you and I are made in his image. What delights God also delights us. You heard it already from Rebecca. We are now entering that season of giving, and you know the joy of it. On Thank Offering Sunday, we will bring food for the hungry. Quilts will decorate our pews. The shoeboxes will fill up our church. It's one of my favorite days of the year. There is joy in giving, and God, the giver, started it. God rewards you with joy. And then he also says, he who has been faithful in little will also be given much. God is generous. He invites you into his generosity, but not just as recipients, but also as givers. You get to be a giver. You learn the Father's generosity, and it gives you a kind of a kick. It's addicting. Generosity and kindness beget more generosity and greater kindness. Your priorities begin to change. You change. You find that while money matters, lives matter more. Faith matters more. And you begin to live in it. God rewards you with joy. He trains you in the gift of generosity, and he changes your priorities. He invests in you more. He gives you a promotion. If you are faithful in something as basic as money matters, he will start to give you more responsibility in other areas, like developing new relationships, faith building. This valley is starving for Christ. What role might God be giving you to start a new web of investments, a new web of relationships? Giving and sharing, making new friends, listening to their stories, serving them, and then at some point, sharing with them what Jesus means to you in your life. Watching someone come to faith. Is there anything better? Is there any greater joy? Is there any richer life? My friends, this is the stuff of eternity. You may say, you know, I'm just not sure I'm ready for that. I'd better stick with the small stuff. But if God gives you a promotion, it's because he knows you can handle it. It's like the adult bird pushing the baby birds out of the nest. If a chick resists, the adult bird begins to peck at its feet until it becomes more painful for the little bird to hang on than it is to let go. You see, the adult bird knows there is no danger in making that baby bird to do what it was designed to do. Birds have feet and they can walk. They have talons and they can cling, but walking and clinging is not what they were designed to do. The mother bird knows that it is no big deal to force its babies to do what they were designed to do. And flying is what birds do best. God knows that you were made for his kingdom work. That's how he made us. It's what we do best. We would look pathetic if we were to cling to the branches of our possessions when we are meant to soar. But sometimes that's what we do. So it takes prayer. That's what undergirds all of this. Prayer. Start by offering yourself and all your possessions to God. Ask him to show you how to manage it well. Putting him first. With every new step, pray. Your prayer life will make an impact on your money matters. Your prayer life will open up your eyes to what really counts, starting with money and then moving on beyond that. My friends, God is a great and generous giver. He challenges you to take his gifts, including your money and possessions, and invest them for his kingdom. You may think you can't risk it because you have never let go before. God is calling you to let go today. Pray.